Well, last week we began to look at those famous words from Jesus where he talked about having rest for our souls. And the main way we looked at rest last week was the spiritual rest we can have when we come to Christ for salvation, when we come to that loving Savior who went to a cross and who bore our sins, and we came to him knowing that we were sinners before a holy God. We deserved punishment. We deserved the wrath of God. And yet in Christ, we find a merciful Savior who is willing to forgive us of all of our sins. And so when we come to Jesus in that way, we find this spiritual rest, this rest for our souls that we're satisfied forever in Christ because of that. We're going to continue to look at the rest we can have in God today, but we're going to look at this rest in more of how we can have this rest on a daily basis in our relationship with God. We're going to continue to look at that passage that we looked at last week, and it's important to keep in mind the context of what Jesus is saying. Because right before Jesus says, "Come to me," he says this. He's calling out to the Father. Actually, he prays to the Father and says, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have revealed these things to little children. You've hidden them from the wise and the learned." He says, "All things have been committed to me, Father." And he would say, "No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and to those whom the Son chooses to reveal him to, them to." And so in that context, what we're reading today, Jesus has talked about the sovereign hand of God in salvation, how it's a work of the Father, a work of the Son. The Bible would also say it's a work of the Holy Spirit, that God would choose us unto salvation. It's in this light that Jesus says these words. Let's look at this again. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus would go on to say this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The first thing we want to look at here is the call of Christ. Who is Jesus calling out to? Well, specifically, he's calling out to the children of God. That's the context. But he's calling out to those who are weary and burdened. Is that you today? Are you weary and burdened? I think most of us would say, yeah, I fit the bill. Yeah, that's me. I'm a little weary. I'm a little burdened. Maybe even if it's only just a little bit, we tend to feel the burdens, the weights of life that come at us. If you're here today and you say, "No, that's not me. Nothing ever weighs me down." I would say this. Number one, either you're lying, or number two, just wait. Because your time will come. Because if you are in Christ, then Jesus said these things will come to us. And it ought to make you question the validity of your faith if you say, "No, I never ever get weighed down." Because Jesus promises those things will come to those who follow him. Well, as we look at these two words, weary and burdened, there's some interesting things to point out. The first thing is that, as many of you know, when Matthew was writing his gospel, he was not writing in English, right? He wrote in Greek. And so what you have today before you is simply a translation of the Greek language. Translators do their best to put it into English. And so if you get into those two Greek words, it's very interesting. The first word for weary, some of your translations may have the word labor there. It is the word kapiao. And the second word for burdened or heavy laden is the word fortizo. Those are neat words, aren't they? And you say, "Yeah, it's all Greek to me." Yeah, I hear you. It's Greek to me too. Thank God for Blue Letter Bible, because it helps me to pronounce these words, because I'm not really that smart. I have to go and click on the guy, and he says, "Kapiao," and he says, you got to roll your R, "fortizo," and that's a neat word, isn't it? Fortizo. Come on, say it with me. Fortizo. Fortizo. So when you see somebody who's weighed down with burdens, you say, "Fortizo." Yeah, that's it. But anyway, what's so interesting about these two words is this. The first word is in the active tense. The second word is in the passive tense. And you say, so what? What does that have to do with anything? Well, here's what it has to do. Jesus is communicating this, that in your life, there may be a tiredness, a weariness that comes to your soul because, number one, because of the energy you exert, the labor you put forth, it may bring a weariness and a tiredness to you. That may happen. But you may also feel weighed down and tired because you do nothing at all. You're passive, and something just comes at you from the outside, either from another person or from the circumstances you find yourself in, and your soul is burdened. That's the beauty of these two words. And so, number one, what can bring about this weariness in our lives? Well, it can be, as the word says there, labor. It can be just from physical labor or the work that we do. You may have a job that requires a lot of physical energy, and at the end of the day, you come home and you are weary. Maybe it's a lot of mental anguish that goes on during the day, and you're weary at the end of the day. Know this, work is a good thing. God tells us in the Bible, you don't work, you don't eat. It's real simple. Work is given by God. It's a good thing. Many people think that work is a curse. Work is not a curse. Do you know that Adam and Eve, before they sinned in the Garden of Eden, you know what they were doing? Working. They were serving God. They were tending to the things in the garden. Before they ever ate of the fruit, they worked. There's a godliness to work. And so work is a good thing. But it can be, as many of you know, in our day, very frustrating. It can be very burdensome. And yet when we think about Adam and Eve before sin, their work was a pure joy and delight. And you say, man, that sounds like a nice place to work, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, just hang on. Wait, because someday, if you're in Christ, you're going to be working in the new Garden of Eden, in the new heaven, the new earth. You're going to be serving God, and that work is not going to be burdensome or cumbersome at all. It is going to be a sheer joy and a sheer delight. That's what we have to look forward to, but in this world, it is not so, is it? There are things that are frustrating, things that are burdensome. When you go to work, there may be machines that break down. Right, Dennis? There may be guys who don't cut the wood right. There may be people that whine all the time, the co-workers that complain. There may be computer glitches. There may be all these things that just are burdensome when we work. We see the results that sin has on this fallen world in Genesis chapter 3. Let's look at that. Genesis 3, 17 through 19. Talks about our present condition. God said to Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. This is the result. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Now, many husbands love the first part of that verse that says, because, Adam, you listened to your wife, but there what God is really getting at is this: Adam, you weren't the man. You didn't step up to the plate. You weren't the man in that situation. Eve was deceived. You willingly disobeyed me. And so because of that, this is the result. Cursed be, your work was going to be very difficult now, very burdensome. So today, if you are weary from physical labor, what should you do? You should go to Jesus. You should go to Jesus. Because Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Well, perhaps today you are weary from spiritual labor. Maybe you're serving God in some capacity. It could be men's group, ladies' Bible study. Could be youth group, right? Youth group, could be junior church, could be different ways. Maybe you're serving God and you get tired and weary from that. You know, there's a weariness that can come from spiritual labor, and it's hard to explain unless you're doing it, right? So if you're here today and you say, oh, come on, how hard can spiritual labor be? It must be a piece of cake. All I got to say is trust me, it's not a piece of cake. It can be very tiring and wearisome at times. Laboring in the Lord can be sometimes even exhausting, not only physically but mentally as well. There's a reason why Jesus got away from the crowds and spent time with the Father. Do you know why? So he could be refreshed, because he poured out his life into people. That's what he did 24/7. And so today, if you are weary from spiritual labor, maybe you are pouring out your heart and your soul into others, and it brings about a weariness, what should you do? Answer, class, go to who? Go to Jesus. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Just go directly to Jesus. He's the one you need. He's the one that can give rest for your souls. A great verse to keep in mind when we think about spiritual weariness is the words of the Apostle Paul. And if you think about a man who knew what it was to be under stress and consternation and confusion in ministry, it was the Apostle Paul. And yet he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. He says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm and let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know this, that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. What was Paul saying? He's saying, hey guys, don't ever forget this. There's a day coming, there's a future day of judgment where there are future rewards for those who have served Christ and have labored for Christ. Don't forget that. God sees everything you've done. He sees every seed you've planted. He sees every seed you've watered. He knows every prayer you've prayed, every tear you've cried. And one day he's going to reward you for those things in glory. Therefore, do not get weary. Stand firm. Don't give up. Keep pressing on and fighting the good fight, if that's you today. Well, not only can we get weary from doing things with our hands and with our minds and with our hearts, but sometimes we can get weary from doing absolutely nothing at all. This is the second word. Again, it's in the passive tense. How can this happen? Well, you can be sitting there doing nothing, and all of a sudden, this goes ring, ring. You pick it up and you say, well, I guess you do something. You say hello. That's all you do. You say hello. And on the other end of the phone, someone tells you about a neighbor who has just been in a car accident. On the other end of the line is someone who tells you that someone in your family maybe has cancer, maybe they've just died. Maybe it's a good friend who says, you know, I'm moving away. And in that moment, when it hits you, there is this weight, this burden that comes upon you. This is the weight here that Jesus is talking about. At first, maybe you're a bit anxious. Maybe you just don't know what to say. Maybe you begin to weep. A lot of ways to respond, but there is this weight that you feel, and you don't have to move an inch. You don't have to expend an ounce of energy for this to happen. It just, boom, it comes at you like a ton of bricks, and you feel the weight. And so what should you do when this weight comes upon you? Tell me, class, go to Jesus. Go directly to Jesus and find rest. Don't turn to some bottle. Don't turn to some drug. Go directly to Jesus. Now you may say, well, what about people? When this happens, shouldn't we turn to other people for comfort? And certainly, there's nothing wrong with that. God has put people in our lives to help and to to comfort. And it's a good thing, but let me just counsel you to do this. It's really not my counsel, it's the word of God. Go to Jesus first. Before you go to anyone, before you go to any person, go to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus knows you better than any other person on the planet. And because Jesus says, I want to be your best friend. I want to have such a deep, intimate relationship with you that the first thing you think of when you're burdened and weary is you come to me. Do you do that? Do you go first to Jesus? Because he loves you that dearly. He wants that relationship so, so deeply with you. Again, I'm not discounting human relationships. In fact, we should seek to be those people who can bring comfort and help, right? Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 25? What you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. So when others are hurting or sick or whatever, we should be those people who want to minister in the name of Christ. I'm not discounting that. I'm just saying this, that our greatest friend should be Jesus. Because that is what he wants. He is the one who is calling out and saying, come to me and I will give you rest. And we're called to obey his call. We're called to obey him. I love what Ralph Earle says about this word rest. He says, give rest is one word in the Greek. It is literally, I will rest you. God saying, I will rest you. It's his presence that brings rest. We do not, quote, receive rest as a gift to be kept in cold storage. No, his warm presence rests our hearts. What's he saying? God is our rest. God himself is our rest. That's why David could say what? My rest is in God alone. And yet, how often do we seek rest apart from God? We say what? Man, I'm whooped. Whew, what a day. Let me turn on the tube and get some rest, right? Now, you may rest your body a little bit, maybe rest your mind a little bit, but this is not the rest that Jesus is talking about. You may say, man, I just need a vacation. I need to get away. Disneyland, here I come, right? I don't know about you, but Disneyland doesn't seem too restful. Anybody been there? Has it been restful? I don't know. Probably not, right? Right? Probably not too restful. This is not the rest that Jesus is talking about. Even if you were to get away to a solitary place for a week, no phones, no people, talking to nobody. That might be a very good thing. You might rest your body. You might rest your mind. You might be reinvigorated or invigorated, whatever the word is here. You might be rejuvenated. There you go. But guess what? A non-Christian can do the same thing, can't they? A non-Christian can go away, do nothing, and get rest. The rest Jesus is talking about is himself. He's saying, be with me. Find your rest in me. That's why he would go on to say, take my yoke upon you. In other words, join your life to me. You want rest? Join your life to Jesus 24/7. And you'll get rest. You'll find rest for your soul. It's Jesus that we're after. It's his presence that we want to pursue. Let's look at what Psalm 105 verse 4 says. It says, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Another way to say seek his face is to say this, seek his presence. Seek his presence. For the people of Israel, the greatest blessing for the faithful Jew was this, to have God's face shine upon them. That's why they loved to hear the priestly blessing from Numbers 6, which said what? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face to you and give you peace. Those are all really the same three statements said different ways. So for the Israelite, for God's face to shine upon them, for his presence to be felt in a real and tangible close way was the greatest blessing they could experience. And so here now Jesus comes on the scene. He says, you want that? You want the face of God to shine upon you? You want the presence of God in your life? Then do this. Come to me. Come to me and take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. That's how you can have that. That's how I can have that in our lives. And so what Jesus is saying is this. If you are weary and burdened, then put your head into my yoke. And when you turn your head in that yoke, it's going to be my face that you see. It's going to be my face that shines upon you. And I will give you an incredible peace and great rest for your soul. And so when Jesus says, come to me, it's really all about trust. It's really about trust. You could say this, the way we arrive at rest in God is to trust in God. Let me say that again. The way we arrive at rest in God is to trust in God. And so when you and I are weary and troubled and tired and confused, we find that we have a loving Savior who is so, so kind, so, so gracious. And he says to us, hey, come to me. Calls out to us and says, here I am, just put your trust in me. You may not understand all the tornadoes that have blown through your life. You may not understand all the fires that have left you with scars, but I am here, so trust in me. I am with you. I can't think of a greater truth that we can rest in, and that God is always with us. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Say to your soul, soul, be at rest once more. A key verse that deals with trust. And we'll close with this verse today is Romans 8, 28. And I know many of you know it by heart. Very familiar verse. I think in our day it's easy to kind of look at this verse in kind of a fluffy kind of way. Like God's just going to kind of, oh, he's going to kind of give me everything I want. He's good. But this verse is really intended to encourage those who are in the deepest pit. And what hope do we have but the sovereignty of God, that he's in control. And so Paul would say this in Romans 8, 28, and we know, we are convinced in mind and heart and soul, convinced of this truth that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. If you are in Christ, then take heart in this truth that God knows exactly what he is doing in your life and in my life. He knows the purposes and plans that he has for us. And he says to us, trust me. Trust me. Don't trust yourself. Trust me in this. And I will never, ever let you walk alone. Well, perhaps today you're here and you've never turned to Christ and asked him to save you. And maybe your soul is disturbed today because of your sin. And what you need to do is to simply humble yourself before God, to acknowledge your sin before him, and to know that Christ came to pay the penalty, to pay the price, so that you could be forgiven. And he says to you, lay your sins at the foot of the cross, find forgiveness, and then die to yourself and follow me. That's what you need to do today if you don't know Christ. I'd like to do something different this morning. I want you to take your hymn book and open it up to page 625. Normally I close in prayer after the sermon. This is going to be our prayer today. So We're going to sing our prayer, which is really the Psalms. You know what they are? They're really songs of prayer. I want you to sing this to God. I don't care how you sound. We don't have any musicians up here, and I'm even going to try to lead this thing. So don't worry about how it sounds, okay? Pretend that you are in your prayer closet, and you are saying these words to Jesus Christ. It's you and Jesus when you sing this. So let's just sing this quietly and thankfully to God today. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to heart. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy? Cumbered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord. Prayer. In his arms take thou wilt find a solace there. We're going to close with a song today. Jordan.